changed in how long we've been on the judges? Over a year. Over a whole year. It's probably closer to 2 years, probably, the lives of the judges we've been on. And I know that we've been on the life of Samuel since August of last year. I'm really not trying to go really slow. Did Mama get one? All right. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And we're going to jump right in. Are you looking for your Bible, Brother David? Yes. Did you set it up here when you was practicing? I don't see it. Did one of my children take off with it? In 1 Samuel chapter number 16, this is the last major event that Samuel is involved here in this text. Samuel makes a big, if you will, a big story here. And then outside of that, this is the tail end. This is the ending of Samuel's life. One of the last major events to take place. And then later on in Samuel's, in the book of 1 Samuel, there is a story that takes place before this event, but it is later on in Samuel that we find that story being told. And so that story being told is the story when Saul goes to the witch and summons someone from the dead. And that's that will be the last story that we cover in Samuel's life. But tonight I want to talk to you about the anointing of a king. In chapter number 15, we find that Samuel was telling King Saul that it was over for him. It was done. God had rejected him as king. And so now God was moving forward with a new king. And that new king was, anybody tell me? King David. I don't know if we'll move into King David's life or not, but King David's life will probably take us 3 years to go through. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But King David's life would be a very long adventure. But I want to look at two simple thoughts tonight. We'll probably just focus in on that first one and take there. So the Bible says in verse number 1 in chapter 16, 1 Samuel, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have proved me a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer." He's not talking about a woman, okay? He's talking about a cow, all right? Take you a heifer, right? Okay. "Take a heifer with thee and say, I come to sacrifice to the Lord, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord, and sanctify yourself, and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. So let's look in verse number 1. Let's look at the work that is involved. So the anointing of the king, God asked him to do something. He gave him a command. What was that command? That command was for him to go and do something. But if you'll see here in verse number 1, King Saul has been rejected as king. Samuel is still mourning the loss of the king. In verse number 1, King Saul has been rejected. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" Do you know what he asked Saul? Do you know what he asked Samuel to do? Stop mourning. Stop mourning. It was time to move forward. It was time to stop mourning. Now, I do believe that mourning is very important when it comes to loss. Mourning is very important to make sure that you do not push those emotions down. It's very important to work through your emotions. It's very important to work through the things that you go through in this life. And King Saul being rejected was hurtful to Samuel, because Samuel had put him in that position. Samuel anointed him to be king. And so for Saul to be rejected and Saul to no longer be in that position, Samuel was hurt. Samuel was discouraged. Samuel was disappointed. And all those other words that you can throw in there, he was upset that Saul was no longer in that position. And so it hurt him. And so what did he do? He mourned. He cried. He wept. Bible says that there is a time to weep. There is a time to mourn. There is a time to shed tear. There is a time to do that. But God came to Samuel and said, enough is enough. Stop mourning. It's time to go to work. Now, there are times, again, that we need to be able to pick up the pieces, be able to pick up our lives and move forward for what God has planned for us. Through the heartbreak, through the disappointment, through the discouragement, through difficult times, there you're going to have to pick up the pieces and move forward for God if you are going to move forward at all. If you will not pick up the pieces and move forward for God, you will be stuck in that position of mourning the rest of your life. Is mourning important? Absolutely it is. But just as important as mourning is, it is important that we move forward out of mourning. Am I telling you that there is a certain time limit of mourning? That's not what I'm saying. That you're only allowed so much time to mourn? That's not what I'm telling you. But I'm telling you that it is important that mourning takes place, and then you have to understand that God will help you pick up the pieces. God will help you recover. God will help you work through the discouragement. God will help you work through whatever it is to help you move forward from the mourning. And so what it was is, and here's one of the things that helped him move forward from the mourning. Do you know what it was? It was work. Do you know what helped him move forward from the mourning, from the discouragement, from the disappointment? Was getting busy for God. See, what happened was, is God tells him in verse number 1, he said, enough is enough, stop mourning. But then he says, go fill your horn with oil. Do you know what he told him to do? Go to work. Because an idle mind is the devil's play shop. You sit still long enough, you don't do anything, and the devil will get in there and mess you up and mess around and get you to do things you ought not to do. That's why idleness causes people to do wrong. Idleness causes people not to do what they ought to do. But we need to be busy working for God. We do. Work through the mourning. Work through the discouragement. Work through those things. Samuel was heartbroken. But what did he do? He got up. Look what it says in verse number 1. God told him to get up and go get the oil. Okay? Now what does he do? And then what does he do? He kind of goes back and forth with God. But eventually, Samuel, in verse number 4, the Bible says, And Samuel did that which the Lord spake. Do you know what Samuel did? He got up and he worked. And he worked. It's important to work through difficult things. If every one of us gave up when things got difficult, there wouldn't be a single person in this room tonight. That's true. Am I telling you the truth?
Yes, sure.
How many of you have ever experienced difficulty time? Raise your hand. How many times have had disappointments? How many of you guys have been discouraged?
Yes.
Look at that.
Yep.
Every hand, just about every hand was raised in the room. Do you know what? You're still here.
Yep.
Do you know what that means? You've worked through some of those things. So tell me some things that you did to help you work through those difficult times. Number one, I'm going to tell you, we need to be busy for God. If we're busy for God and pleasing God, we're not worried about that thing, okay? That's my number one, because I see that in the Scripture. What have you found in your life to help you?
Got down on my knees and prayed and asked what's the goal.
Got down on your knees and prayed. Yeah. Spend time with God.
Ask what he
wants. What do you want, God? What do you want me to do? Yeah. What do you want me to do? It's good. That's good.
When I lost my husband and God allowed me to mourn for a certain time, and then just like he told him, he said, it's time to get up and get busy and serve me. And I'm like, okay, God. So sometimes we just need God to speak that to us. It's like, okay, now it's time. You know, not that I didn't still mourn at times.
Right.
But it wasn't like God was going to allow me to stay in that, you know.
Right.
And so I got to the church and started, not that I wasn't going to church, but I just got busier for the Lord.
Right.
Know, as busy as I could be.
Right.
And that's what I did for 3 years.
And know this to be true, that your mourning is, and what has caused you to be in mourning, does it make it unimportant?
No.
Okay? It doesn't make it easy.
No.
But it's things that you do to help you push through those difficulty things that you've faced in this life. Every person in this room, you have faced those things.
Right.
Okay? So whether it is that you've taken time to pray, whether it is you've taken time to just get busy for God, I don't know what else. And somebody else, tell me, what is something that you've done that's helped you through difficult times of your life? Anybody?
For me, to go out with you guys and pass the Bibles out helped me through a lot of Bible times that I have.
Yes, sir.
Getting busy with that. You know, being able to go out and pass out Bibles and talk to people and enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
And help me.
Yes, sir. Amen. Give you a sense of purpose. Give you a sense of doing something. It's good.
Well, I think another thing, when you, if you stay just mourning at home and you don't get back in church, then you don't have encouraging words from other Christians. You know, you just isolate yourself. And
right.
Even though you're in God's Word, it's that spoken encouraging
right.
that God wants us
right.
to have. And I found that that was one of the things even God allowed me to do. Because there was like 3 deaths in our church within, like one of them was just like a month after Jerry passed away. And God allowed me to be able to go and speak encouraging words. Hey, you're going to get through this, you know. And then another. But so God uses our hurt to be able to help other people get through it. And, you know, and not only losing somebody, but sometimes you lose possessions, you know, where you might lose your home for some reason or other. And you can survive all of that because you don't need that to be happy. You don't need any of possessions to be happy.
Right.
You can have all the possessions in the world, let me tell you. I've had both. Had a lot, and I've had very little. And happiness does not depend on
right.
serving
right.
the Lord and being happy
yep.
with Him.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to share this too, is that when I lost my oldest son to an accident, I remember at the service, I stood there and people were paying their respects, and yet I was trying to minister to them. I was reminded that, you know, it's your time, you know, to be ministered to. But that, I think that was part of my release. Be able to be there for someone else, even though, I mean, it hurt me like unbelievable. And Brother David, you know, he sang it at my son's service, and and that ministered to me, you know, as well. So
right,
a lot of different ways that it comes about, how we get busy, you know, how
right.
our lives change. You know?
Right. Yep. It's good. Anybody else? Any thoughts, questions? Let me ask you something. What is oil representation in the Bible? Holy Spirit. I want you to think about this for just a second. In that verse, he said, go fill thy horn with oil. You know what God asked him to do? He asked you to go fill the horn with oil. But do you know what I see? Hey, go fill yourself with the Holy Spirit of God. Go back to the place. Go back to God for help. Go back to the place where you know you can get encouragement. Go back to the place where you know you can find strength. Because do you know where we're going to find that inner strength? Do you know where we're going to find that strength to overcome and push through and go through all those things? It's not through Trenton, and it's not through your neighbor. It's through Christ. And that's where the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. How do I find that inner strength? Is going back to the oil and going back to God and finding that inner strength, because going to yourself and hiding and running from your issue and running from your problem and pulling in and not letting anybody else in and not letting anybody else help and not letting anybody else encourage and not letting anybody else know, you're hurting yourself and hurting everything that's trying to go on inside. When God wants to encourage and God wants to strengthen and God wants you to continue on, that's what God wants for us. And for us to continue on, we've got to get back in the work of God. We've got to get back and pray and spend time with God and go back to that oil. You know, this is, again, a representation of this oil. Look, when Samuel went to that oil, do you know what he got that oil for? He got it to anoint who? Who did he get it to anoint? David. Think about that for just a second. That oil came from the man of God. And the man of God, went to the house of God, if you will, filled his horn with oil so that he could go and give it to David. But if the man of God doesn't go get the oil, he never places the oil on David's head. How important it is just for every individual Christian to do what they're supposed to do, but how important it is for the preacher to make sure that I'm going to that throne of grace and getting that oil, so when you come to church, you get something when you come to church, and you're fed when you get to church, and you're helped when you get to church, and you're encouraged when you get to church, and you walk out of these walls thinking I can do it, and knowing that God can empower me, and knowing that God can strengthen me. It's my job as a preacher to go get the oil so that I can bring it to you, to help you, to strengthen you. My job to get that oil. But I believe every one of us need to go make sure we get the oil. Go back to God for our strength. There is a time of mourning. There is a time of hurt. But we've got to go fill our horn with oil. He filled his horn with oil so that he could fulfill what God asked him to do. But you'll see in this command and in this work, though Samuel did what God wanted him to do in verse number 4, there were still questions about what to do and why to do it, because immediately he begins to say, well, God, you want me to do it, but here's an excuse. Look in verse number 2, and Samuel said, how can I go? How am I supposed to go down there? See, what happens is when God calls us and we've had a hurt and we've had a discouragement and we've had a disappointment time in our life and we've went through those struggles, we begin to make excuses on why we can stay where we're at. We begin to make excuses on why we can just continue to wallow in what we're going through. But see, Samuel, he made an excuse. Well, how can I go? Oh, down King Saul, he's going to kill me. Now, let's be for real. Is that a for real excuse? Is that a legitimate excuse? If King Saul Samuel, going down to the Bethlehem to find another king, you tell me if King Saul wouldn't have killed him.
Oh yeah, that's a nice Putin.
Cut him off.
You died.
Think about that. David knew within his heart that Samuel knew within his heart that there was a possibility that if King Saul found out, there it could be his death. I still feel like it was an excuse that he used. But again, I see this over and over again. I love it. But what God gave him was a command to go anoint the next king. But he didn't tell him the name of the next king. He didn't tell him what he looked like, the next king. He just told him to go get your oil and fill it up and do what I've said. And when you get down there, I'll tell you the rest. Is that not like God?
Yep.
Here, go to that. Well, how am I going to do it? Just do what I said.
Yeah.
You ever told your children, Brother Caleb, to tell go do something? Well, Dad, why? Never, huh? Not your children, just mine, right? Brother David?
Oh, Lord.
My. Yeah. Huh? When we are given something, sometimes we want every detail, when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, why it's going to happen, when it, where it's going to happen, and every detail on who's going to be there and who's going to accomplish it and who's going to do this and who's going to do that. But that's not how God works. Where's the money going to come from to provide the expenses to take care of what God wants for you? Huh? But if God places it in our hearts and God speaks to us and God tells us to do something, will He not provide? Will He not tell us when to go and where to go and how to accomplish what we're going to do if we'll listen to what God has for us?
Amen.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Sometimes it's one step at a time. You ever been coon hunting before? Have you guys ever been coon hunting before in the dark? What?
Nope, but eight.
Just two of you? Okay. You ever been coon hunting, Brother Alfred? You never been coon hunting? Okay, how many guys been spotlighting before? Okay. All right, there we go. Okay, that's a little better. Okay. Well, I remember going coon hunting in Arkansas, man. In Arkansas, everything's woods. Everything's woods where we grew up there. And we went out coon hunting and we're out there in the middle of the woods and it's pitch black, dark, have a little headlamp on our head, you know. And we're out there, that coon dog is hooping and hollering. He's got a tree. He has a coon tree. And you can tell by the bark that he has. If you've never been coon hunting, you wouldn't know. But anyway, so he's on that tree and he's hooping and hollering. He's got that coon ready to go. And so you take off down through the woods listening to that coon holler. And all you have is a little lamp on the top of your head walking through that woods. And you don't know what direction you're going in. You don't know what you've got to mark your truck so that you know the direction that you got to come out. And that's it. And buddy, making it back to the truck is sometimes difficult. But I'm going to be telling you this. It's very important that you make sure you have enough batteries in that light, because that light's going to guide you to where the dog is, where the coon is, so you can shoot the coon at the tree and then get back to the truck. But you know what? On your way out there, you can only see as far as that light goes. You know what? In life, and God is leading us, you can only see as far as that light will lead.
Yep.
Sometimes it looks a little dark off there. Do you know why? Because He hasn't revealed that yet.
Yep.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what? Sometimes He hasn't revealed what the next step is. But may we say this too, that God's way is perfect, is it not? Yep. Amen?
Yep.
Is God's way true?
Yes.
Every time?
Yes.
Even though we may not understand, and even though we may not be able to calculate it, even though we may not be able to say, well, how can I put two and two together? How's it all going to work out? We've got to trust the Lord. But look, he said, and Samuel said unto him, he said, how can I go? He began to make an excuse. Well, I can't see what's happening. I can't see what's going to happen. If Saul will hear it, he'll kill me. And the Lord told him, he said, take a heifer with you. I'll stay off of that. I'm going to move on. He said, take a heifer with you and come to that town and tell him that you're going to make a sacrifice. Just tell him that's what you're going to do. Just tell him you're going to make a sacrifice. And when you get down there, you just call Jesse to the sacrifice. And you tell Jesse, he said, you get down there, you tell Jesse to come to the sacrifice. And when Jesse gets down there, then I'll tell you what to do. Look in verse number three, and call Jesse to the sacrifice and I'll show you what to do there. Huh? God didn't tell him what to do now. He said, when you get there, get to town, call the sacrifice, get Jesse out there, and then I'll tell you what to do. And then thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto you. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. Boy, and the elders were scared. I'm not for sure why they were scared. Were they scared that Samuel was going to come through town and kill them all or what? I don't know. They were scared that Samuel was going to tell King Saul that they weren't doing right. I don't know. But he came into town and he did, in verse number four, and he did that which the Lord spake. Boy, wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't it be good if that could be said about each and every person in this room tonight? And Samuel did that which the Lord said unto him. Put your name there. And Trenton did that which the Lord told him to do. Did the Lord tell you to do something? Has the Lord spoke to your heart? Has the Lord encouraged you? Man, oh man. Hey, this is the Word of God. It is our guide. It is our life book. It is our lamp. It is our light. It is our path to the right direction. Hey, if it is, then we have to apply it. We have to have that book, and not Bible, allow it to be our guide and our compass, our directional place. And everything it says, follow step by step. Boy, you've went through that difficult time. Can you imagine Samuel coming through this place? He is discouraged. He is down and out. He is disheartened. He is whatever you want to throw in there. He's mourning. And God tells him to go to work, but he only tells him a couple steps. Guess what? When God has placed it and God has talked to us and God has told us to do, then guess what we need to do? Take one step at a time. You know what? To build my life the way that I have, guess what? It's only been one step at a time. If you would have told me, June will be 18 years. If you would have told me 18 years ago, four kids, one little ornery boy later, man, I don't know how we could have worked all that out, you know? But then it's just one step at a time. One step at a time. Because God's not going to give you the whole piece at one time because you won't be able to swallow it. You won't be able to handle it. I'm going to do what? I'm going to go where? But you have to go one step at a time. And to build our life around the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what it's going to take? One step, one block. Do you know what we need to do? We need to build up. How are we going to build our life? One block at a time. One thing at a time. One principle at a time. One at a time. Everybody in this room, guess what? It's the same principle for everybody. You know, we talked about that when we began the year. There is, you know, I don't care if you've been a Christian for 10 years or 5 minutes, the principles are still the same. The blocks are still the same. You've got to go to God. You've got to rely on Him for inner strength. You've got to make sure you take time for God. You've got to make sure you pray. You've got to make sure you go and fill your horn with oil. You've got to make sure you be filled with the Holy Spirit of God so that you can walk the steps that God has planned for your life. Because even at that, there's been valleys that you've walked through that you would have never in your mind thought you could have ever walked through, but God has helped you walk every step through that because you've trusted in Him and you've believed in Him and you trusted Him, and He's given you that inner strength and that inner gumption, and that whatever it is that He allowed you to go through, He helped you get to the other side.
Amen.
Can I say this and I'll be done? Keep going. Keep it going. And do what God has asked you to do. Now, I will say this. Everything we do for God is not always easy. There are aspects of the Christian life that are easier than others. Yes or no? Absolutely. And everybody's different too. And so what might be easy for you is difficult for the next person. And what's easy for them is hard for you. Everybody's different. But guess what? We all still need the same one. Same God. Same person we need to rely on. Same one we need to go fill the horn with of oil. Same person. To help us give that inner strength that we can fight through and push through the morning and the difficult things that we face. Okay, anybody have any questions or thoughts? Anybody have any questions?
The oil that you're speaking of, do you mean the anointing oil?
Mm-hmm. So that anointing oil, specifically in that text, was something that was given to the priest, and the priest had four certain things. And so he used that anointing oil to anoint King Saul and to anoint the next king, David. And he used that oil. And the oil in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And so when I reference going and filling our horn with oil, the reference is making sure that we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Does that make sense? Because later on in the New Testament, the Bible speaks of an anointing oil for the New Testament saints. And the anointing oil that is used, I think it's in James, is it not? Help me out, Bible scholars. That it talks about, come on now, help me out. Talks about anointing, if they're sick, any sick among you, call upon the elders of the church to anoint with oil. James 5, okay. So it talks about in James. See, I was right. Okay. James 5, thank you. Talks about the anointing oil. And that oil is, it's not the oil that is the healing agent. It's the Holy Spirit. And so that anointing oil is just a representation of the Holy Spirit. And so that Holy Spirit is the same. And again, when He anoints King David to be the king in this chapter, we'll talk about it next week, but when He anoints King David to be king, the Holy Spirit comes on King David at that point. And David is just a young man. I'm not exactly for sure how old he is at that time. But at that moment, if you continue to read in chapter 16, you'll see that anointing take place, and that when it takes place, the Holy Spirit moves on King David. And again, Old Testament, the Holy Spirit moved on and off of men. And in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit indwells men. When the Bible says that, if I confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. That moment when I ask Christ to save me, He moves inside of me. So the Holy Spirit is in me already. And so in the Old Testament, that Holy Spirit would move in and move off of people. And there's many times of mention in that. And even, I believe in chapter number 16, the Holy Spirit moves off of King Saul at that point as well, because King Saul is doing wicked and not doing what's right. I don't know if that helps explain that question. Okay. All right, anybody else have something else? Want to say? Okay. Well, if there's no objections, who wants to close us out? No, I'm just kidding. I hear them. Anybody else have a statement or thing they'd like to ask? Okay. Let's pray. Lord, I love you. Thank you for tonight. I pray that you've helped us. I pray that we can see through this text how important it is that we follow the Lord.